You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Chris Carlin in for Dave, along with the fellas at 800-919-3776. We'll get to the calls early. We have a Game 7 to discuss, which is not something Mr. DiPietro can be terribly happy about. We will get to that here shortly. But we have to start with the Yankee-Met game yesterday, and Christopher Canty, that was by far, and that's saying something, by far the worst loss of the year for the Yankees. And I know you laughed me off a little bit the other day. Fellas, this is no luck. This is no luck to make the postseason this year. This is no luck.
I hear what you're saying, and you're probably right. It's not a luck, but I just find it hard to believe that you're talking about it. You think this is funny? It's not funny to me. I mean, you're probably right. It's not a luck. I'm sitting here looking at the American League right now. And, yeah, it's going to be a logjam to try to get into the postseason. I have a hard time believing that the Yankees won't find a way because of how much talent is on this team. Fingers crossed that everybody gets healthy in time to be able to get into a little bit of a groove and go on a win streak. But, I mean, right now it's not looking good. It feels like we're hustling backwards. In yesterday's game, the most frustrating part about it is the part of the team that's actually intact, the part of the team that should be your strength, is what let you down. Because Zach Britton gave up a two-run eighth inning, and then, of course, Chapman gives up the home run to J.D. Davis in the ninth. And I guess it's a little bit of get-back for J.D. Davis after being hit by that pitch. But those two guys let you down. Seven runs is enough runs to win a damn game. And yet, for some reason, the bullpen decided it wanted to implode at the most inopportune time.
There was no reason to lose that game. I mean, here's the problem, though. You've been spending way too much time around the Mets. You're
yeah,
catching,
that's
you're catching the Mets.
Six games in 6 days, that's what it was. 100%.
You're catching the Mets. I still cannot believe that Tyler Wade got doubled up in that situation. I have no idea how he's standing on third base in that situation.
I don't get it. I mean, when you're Tyler Wade and you're hitting .143 and you're there because you have two jobs, to field and to be a good base runner. And not only that, you get doubled up twice in 2 days. Twice in 2 days. And in that situation, I mean, Chris, that's inexcusable. I don't think it's funny. I think it's more a situation where they're sitting there right now, and I know I keep getting this, wait until everybody comes back, wait until everybody comes back. All right, maybe Torres this weekend, but the Yankees have actually gotten themselves in a situation where a series with the Baltimore Orioles is actually important.
Yeah, I mean, that's the state of the union. I think right now we're sitting there tied for seventh in order to get into the postseason in terms of the wild card standings. So, I mean, I look at this team and I'm saying, okay, we still have an opportunity to pick up some ground. Maybe we can get in position where we can guarantee that we're going to be the second place team. We've got to fight with the Toronto Blue Jays for that. But, I mean, I feel like this team has enough talent. It's just a matter of being able to get healthy and have your offense whole so those guys have an opportunity to play in some games, to win some games, but most importantly, to get in the groove before you get to the postseason. But, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that we find ourselves fighting for our playoff lives in a year where we thought that qualifying for the postseason was a fait accompli. Like, this is something that we thought was going to be a given. This was supposed to be automatic. It wasn't going to be a situation where you felt like the Rays were going to run away with the division, you know, shortly after the halfway point of the season, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, but I can understand how you, I mean, when you see this Yankees team, especially early on in the season, when they were healthy, I mean, they were mowing people down. I mean, this team was, okay, this is the best team in the American League. It's going to be them and the Dodgers at the end. I mean, they haven't stayed healthy, but I don't think anyone could have imagined having the same thing happen this year that happened last year. Like, I couldn't imagine. I had 30 players on the IL last year with 39 different IL stints. And then it's a continuation of the season of that. I did not. I can honestly say I did not expect the Yankees to deal with the amount of injuries that they've dealt with already this season. Again, back-to-back
Well, we didn't
years.
Think it could happen 2 years in a row, right? I mean, that was the biggest thing. Like, there's no way you're going to deal with the amount of injuries that we saw last year where you had over 30 IL stints. Like, there just was no way that that was going to happen. But I feel like we find ourselves in that same position. Now, it sounds like Gleyber Torres is going to come back shortly, and that's gonna provide some punch. But Giancarlo Stanton is nowhere close, and who knows what's going to happen with Aaron Judge. So, I mean, there are reasons to be concerned. But, again, the part of the team that's supposed to be your strength is what let you down yesterday, and that's the part that's so frustrating, especially after we saw Britton come back off of the injury and look good the other night. So I don't know what to make of it. I mean, at some point, we got to start looking at Aaron Boone because he keeps talking about, you know, turn the page and move on to the next game. At some point, you're going to have to recognize what's going on and why you're losing baseball games and address it because you're running out of time.
Yeah, Chris, I couldn't agree more about Boone, and I've got some sound from him last night, and I have to tell you. And listen, I'm not a Yankee fan, but bad baseball ticks me off. And when I hear a manager speak like this after a game like that where they did everything they could to lose it, I find it a little bit annoying.
Tough one to lose, you know, because did a lot of good things today, you know, coming off a tough loss. So, you know, got to try to build on the good things we did, and we're set up there to close it out, and it just didn't happen today. And we got to turn the page real quick because we got an important day in front of us tomorrow.
Listen, I don't expect him to blast the team and rip them to shreds, but that's not what you want to hear after last night's game.
Yeah, but who are you going to blast? I get what you're saying, but I mean, but what good does that do? Like him to all of a sudden start blasting people in the media?
Not blast, but not paint a rosy picture around what just happened, and we did a lot of good things. Because when I hear that kind of stuff, that's the stuff that I hear from losing managers after games like that.
But Chris, you're trying to pump up a bunch of guys that shouldn't actually be playing on the team at the moment. Like this isn't your team.
Like, I know, these are guys. Chris pointed out, the reason I lost that game is two of my guys who are my team didn't get it done last night, including Chapman, who I, Chris, I don't have as much of an issue with Britton because I felt like he had some bad luck. He got ground balls, but Chapman throwing an 0-2 fat one right down, fatter than me, right down the middle. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great, but I mean, you're not going to take Aroldis Chapman out of your closer's role. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, like, that's going to be your guy. It's just unfortunate you got to live with J.D. Davis doing a good piece of hitting. I mean, he got a pitch that he could hit, and he did damage. And
that was less about the hitting, and that was more about the pitch. That was a terrible 0-2 pitch.
It was a terrible 0-2 pitch. I'm with you guys. I'm agreeing with you guys. I'm just giving credit where credit is due. You take advantage of the mistakes that your opponents make. You make them pay. Kind of like what the Flyers did to the Isles last night. And that's exactly what happened with J.D. Davis.
Guy. I will say, though, Chapman looks fantastic, though. He's all jacked up. Looks great.
Yeah, he's all jacked up. But, I mean, what difference does that make if he's throwing batting practice for the Mets in the ninth?
If you saw him when he first came back, he had the sleeveless shirt on working out. Oh, my God. It was Schwarzenegger back in the 80s at his absolute peak.
He's humongous. No, he's humongous. Like, massive. TV doesn't do justice to how big he actually is right now.
He's absolutely massive.
You know what? Here's what I'll say about last night, too. Last night was the perfect example of how the conversation changes when you actually win a game. Like, we're sitting here, like, dire straits over the Yankees. How could you lose this game? You had a 4-0 lead. Hap gives it back. Chapman serves up the 0-2, you know, 99-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle of the plate. And you harp on all the negative stuff. When the Mets did just as many negative things as the Yankees did, but we won't talk about any of them because they actually won the game.
Yeah, why did Billy Hamilton get thrown out of third? Like, what was that about?
Why is he stealing third in that spot?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
It's as bad as could be to do something like that. And I know he's Billy Hamilton. I know how fast he is. But what are you doing, especially
which mistake is worse? Tyler Wade getting doubled off or Billy Hamilton stealing third and getting caught?
I think Billy Hamilton is a little bit worse. Just because
it would have been worse because that should have been a walk-off. I mean, J.D. Davis' home run is a walk-off if he decides he's not going to try to steal third.
Yeah, and but I think it's a little bit worse because even more – mentally, at least Wade sitting there talking about, well, I'm checking where the outfielders are, and he just misjudged it and all that. That is Hamilton premeditated in that spot, purposely going after something that with his speed he had absolutely no need to go after. I don't care whatever analytics say, it is a tenet of baseball to never make that first out at third base.
He was trying to pull a Willie Mays Hayes, man. He was going to steal second, and then third, and home. He's going to try to win it on his own.
I bought 100 of these, one for every base I'm going to steal.
Yeah, your shoelace is untied. That's what it looked like in that spot.
Tom Emanski was probably throwing up watching that game last night.
Willie Mays Hayes, yeah. Play like Mays, I run like Hayes.
It was gross. I mean, yesterday's game, that was on both sides. The amount of mistakes on both sides was gross. I mean, up to the point he hit the game-winning home run, I mean, Alonso was having an awful day. Awful. I mean, bad play. I mean, defensively, not good. And then, I mean, up to that point, was he 0-for-4?
Yeah.
It's been a rough year for Pete Alonso, man. It's been a rough year.
Yeah, I don't think he's benefited from the 3-week ramp-up going into his sophomore season.
I would agree with that. And I don't think it's, like, if anybody's going to say it's a typical sophomore slump, I wouldn't put it that way. Because it is such a bizarre season. But still, he has not had an easy go of it this year. And, you know, when you get a chance to get Abreu in that spot, he got a pitch that he could hit, and he absolutely clobbered it. And from his standpoint, it's good. From a Met standpoint, it once again gives you hope that I would characterize at this point is still some false hope about what they are. And they've got now the Phillies, who are red hot at the moment. But, I mean, Rick, do you have any real, true, I'm not going to use the word faith, but any true hope at a Mets postseason berth? And I say that knowing exactly where they are.
I mean, your second best starting pitcher is now in your bullpen. Peterson has been your second best starting pitcher. Now he's in your bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about Happ giving up the four run lead. Gesellman went an inning and 2/3. He was awful.
Yeah, what was the point of Gesellman going from the bullpen to the starting rotation if he's only going to give you an inning and 2/3 of work? What was the point of it?
And people were screaming, Chris, about the fact that you're going to put Lugo in the rotation now. They did it with Gesellman at the same time, and it didn't get nearly as much attention. But you're kind of doubling down on that idea, knowing that you're not going to get a lot of length out of these guys. Wouldn't you have to at least leave one of them in the bullpen for that very reason alone?
I would completely agree with you, Colin, but a lot of length is one thing, but an inning and 2/3?
Terrible.
I mean, you had to end up using, what, 5 relievers anyway? Like, why would you take him out of the bullpen when he's shown you that he can be an asset in the role that you had him in middle relief, as opposed to moving him to the starting rotation where he's subpar? Like, that's the part of it that I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, because there's no options. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, he's the best option right now, okay. Unfortunately.
But so you don't have faith, right?
You got some bad choices that you're making right there.
Well, I mean, how could I have faith? I mean, Carl, honestly, I love the Mets. I mean, they're outside of the Islanders. They're my second favorite team because I love baseball. You know that. I mean, they can't win for DeGrom, which is a problem. And then, you know, once you get past DeGrom, I mean, what do you have for starting pitching?
You got nothing.
Yeah. The Mets are constantly that line from Shawshank with Morgan Freeman saying, hope is a dangerous thing and can drive a man insane, because that is the word that you are talking about every year with the Mets, and games like last night still give you reason to hope for this year.
Yeah, but you should have lost the game. I mean, let's be honest. I'm glad we won, and it was fitting with, you know, the Tom Seaver, you know, the tribute with the dirt on the knees, which I loved, and everything else. I mean, it was what Pete Alonso said. It almost made me tear up that now that he's passed, you know, Tom Seaver has become a baseball god, and he was looking down on us. And it was fitting that they won. But, I mean, throughout the course of that game, they were doing what they could to try to lose that game. And luckily for them, the Yankees, you know, were also doing the same thing for them.
Yeah, I mean, it was a war of attrition there. And so now...
Yeah, we snatched the feet from the jaws of victory. You can go ahead and say it, Carlin. I guess the thing that I don't understand is that in a game where 16 runs are scored, if you were going to tell me that one of these teams' bullpen was going to implode and give up the game, I mean, I would almost bet that it's going to be the Mets, because That's what their bullpen does, but inside, but it ends up being the Yankees' bullpen.
Do you feel worse about? Do you? I mean, you're pretty annoyed. Are you annoyed at Britton about what happened, or do you kind of let him give him a little bit of slack?
No, both of those guys are on the hook. I'm not giving anybody any slack.
Okay.
Zach Britton and Aroldis Chapman are on the hook for last night's game because you scored enough runs, you had enough run support. Both of those guys were pitching with a lead. What happened in the eighth and the ninth cannot happen. That's unacceptable.
Tenth. Or you the 10th. Well, let's not bury the 10th. I mean, you had the top of the order up with a run. I mean, no, it's runner on second base, and you don't find a way to generate a run.
Yeah. Well,
that's unacceptable, too.
No, that is unacceptable, but I would probably put more on the bullpen than I would on the lineup because the lineup is not whole. No excuses. What happened in the 10th is not acceptable. You're absolutely right. That's bad baseball. But if I'm going to start playing the blame game, and who I hold more responsible for last night's game, I would start with the bullpen. That's just me.
And to your point about never thinking that this is going to happen 2 years in a row with all of the injuries that they've had, you know, I think last year you had LeMahieu and Torres, who were the two guys that were able to stay healthy for the majority of the season, and they kind of carried you through that in addition to everybody else helping you out. I almost felt like, you know, last year to see what they did was so freaking remarkable considering everything they went through. And right now you are seeing what happens to a mortal team when you lose the guys that you do and you end up playing games like yesterday.
Well, I think to Rick's point, I mean, in the lineup yesterday, you only had four of the nine guys that you would typically have, right? You're talking about LeMahieu, Voit, Hicks, and Urshela. Mm-hmm. Those are your guys that are going to be everyday players. I mean, the rest of those guys are essentially fill-ins. Now, as well as they played last year, you have maybe a little bit of a higher bar in terms of the expectations, but those guys are not the guys that you're going to depend on in order to lead your team on a championship run. So you're not whole. But the fact that that lineup was able to manufacture seven runs, that's the part of it that I can't get past. I feel like they did their job. Now, was the execution in certain spots shoddy? Yeah. Did Tyler Wade have a gaffe running the bases and extras? Absolutely. But seven runs should be enough to be able to take care of the Mets, and it wasn't yesterday. And the only thing that I could point to in the bullpen, so to your point – earlier, Carlin, about Aaron Boone and his messaging in the media to the guys in the clubhouse. Yeah, I think it's time for him to start creating more urgency within his team because you're running out of time.
Yeah, but I don't know if here's the one thing I will say, though, and I agree with you with the bullpen. I don't know if creating a sense of urgency with the guys that you have in this lineup is necessarily a good thing for them. Like, I would not want to put extra pressure on some of the guys that are in this lineup that are already struggling. And on top of the injuries, too, I mean, guys that had good seasons last year aren't performing this season. Like, Gardner is not having a good season.
No.
Hicks is offensively not having a good season.
Nope.
So, I mean, you're missing huge pieces of your lineup. And on top of it, the guys that helped to, you know, carry you last year when guys were injured are not having good seasons either.
And the one last thing about it to keep an eye on. More than anything. And I was watching the Met broadcast yesterday because wanted to see all of the Seaver stuff that they were going to do. Chris, I don't know if they said it on the Yankee broadcast. I don't know if you watch the Yankee broadcast or which one do you watch. But Urshela looks like something's going on with his leg right now because he was not able to really bust it getting to second base when there was the throw to third, and when he was going first to third, that did not look good either. Something may be going on there, and that would have me a little bit concerned from a Yankee standpoint. He's out there able to play right now, but he's not running anywhere near 100%.
Well, he made a nice play at third, and he kind of threw the ball back toward first. It was a pretty nice play that he made yesterday. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I didn't hear anything in the broadcast with them talking about him being compromised health-wise. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the guy is swinging a hot bat. I mean, in the last six games, he's got 8 hits and 20 at-bats. So, I mean, Urshela has kind of picked it up after going through a little bit of a slump. I mean, again, he's one of those guys that he's going to be solid defensively, and he's going to contribute but he's not going to be a guy that's going to carry the offense. And right now, the Yankees just don't have enough bats in their lineup where they can consistently manufacture a lot of runs. They can't slug their way to wins like they typically would be able to if they were whole. And so that's why you're going to have to depend on the bullpen, especially with your starting rotation kind of being in flux because you're dealing with some injuries there. So your bullpen is going to have to hold you down. And last night, that was the opposite of that. The bullpen let you down.
Yeah, on a night where you actually did what you were supposed to do with runners in scoring position. Like, the offense did what they were supposed to do. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, J-Hap got himself into some trouble with two outs, and then the guys you count on the most at the end of the at the back end of games, you know, found a way to lose it for you. But and I, then, Chris, I'm actually glad you brought that up because I noticed the same thing. I mean, it's not just Urshela too. I mean, you got Voit dealing with something; he's gimped up, and Hicks doesn't look 100% healthy either.
He does not, and Hicks is a guy that I'm sure right now is thinking he has to do everything he can to stay on the field, considering he continually gets hurt. But that's why I said I didn't know if it was picked up on the Yankee broadcast. And the only reason I picked up the Urshela thing is that Keith was talking about it on the Met broadcast on SNY. So, but at any rate, it'll be interesting to kind of monitor that. But, Rick, I mean, I felt for you. I felt for you. I stayed up late. I'm watching it. I don't know, like, what your reaction is to everything that happened in that Islander game last night. So take.
I mean, I was disappointed. Yeah. This is what happens when you keep a good team, you know, you give a good team hope, and you don't finish them when you have an opportunity to finish them. I don't know how much better the Islanders could have played. I mean, outside of the couple, you know, four of the five goals are off turnovers that ended up in the back of their net. I mean, I guess the one improvement that I would say that, you know, they could correct is Philly's having a ton of success getting the puck from low to high, and then, you know, either they change sides and the defenseman gains the middle of the ice and gets pucks through. You saw that, you know, last night in that overtime goal. Mm-hmm. And maybe forwards have to take better angles out to the point, you know, eliminate the middle of the ice. But, I mean, you had plenty of opportunities. What pissed me off really was, I mean, back to, you know, finishing a team when you have the opportunity is you have all the momentum, you're on the power play, and you can barely get the puck in the zone. It's a useless power play, and then you give up, which is, in essence, a shorthanded goal, which can't happen.
Are you talking about the one midway through the third where it kind of gets away from Toews, and then Giroux flips it ahead to Lawton?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was the turning point in the game. Like, after that happened and they tied it up, I said, Philly's going to win this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could feel the momentum swing. Then the Islanders get another power play at the end of the game, do nothing on that, and then generated a ton of scoring chances in the first overtime. I mean, Barzell's line, Eberle had so many chances last night. Oh. Barzell was unbelievable. He was awesome. I mean,
that goal at the end of the second where he shows off the. Oh, I mean, it was unbelievable. He goes top shelf. Like, that was crazy.
He's special. He is a special player.
He looked like he was in the Matrix, bro.
Dude, he's awesome. I mean, he is awesome. And then, you know, of course, you have a broken stick in the second overtime that ends up costing you. But, I mean, they had plenty of opportunities to win that game. And now, unfortunately, we go to a Game 7 all hell breaks loose in Game 7. So who knows? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But if they play the way they played in Game 6, I feel good about it.
All right, but take me to the mentality there, because when you're in this situation now, And I know all the cliches are there. You got to put it behind you as quickly as possible. What are you doing mentally to try to put it behind you?
There's nothing you can do. I mean, you're going to go over film. You'll go over, you know, film and video and everything else and try to make some adjustments. But, I mean, for the most part, we played a good game. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we couldn't find a way to finish it. But, I mean, they played a good game. They did.
Yeah.
Well, is Couturier going to be back in Game 7?
I'm not sure what the extent of his injury is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're going to try. I mean, he's one of
their
best players.
It's Game 7, right?
It's Game 7. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah. They had Lindblom come back last night.
which is another huge emotional lift for the Flyers, who haven't – I mean, the Islanders have been the better team in this series. They have. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. I mean, the games they've lost – you know, their three losses are all in overtime. And they're all one-goal games.
the other thing too, I was going to mention the Lindblom thing, but you do have to give credit to Carter Hart. I mean, for Pete's sake, they did have 53 shots on goal.
He was awesome. At one point, I mean, at one point, the Islanders had 30 more shots than the Flyers did.
I mean,
it was 51 to 20 or 50 to 20 at one point.
They had more shots on goal. They had more hits. It just felt like, and when you start looking at the statistics, I mean, their penalty kill was awesome. I mean, you start looking at it, it's like, how did the Islanders lose that game?
See, that's what would bother me. Like if, and I'm not a mentally tough guy, I'll admit that, but that's what would bother me if I'm coming out of that game and I'm getting ready for the next game. It's like, how did we lose in that situation? And if one gets away from me on a fluky one early, then I'm going to start squeezing the stick a lot tighter.
No, see, I disagree with that. I mean, they were down, you know, 2-0 in that game last night.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been plenty of times when they've been down, and that's not, I mean, that hasn't been a problem for them. They fought their way back into it. It's been, you know, stepping on the team's throat when they have the opportunity to do it. Like, that power play was a huge power play. You have a one-goal lead. You're on the power play. You've actually already scored. You know, you got a power play goal that play Barzal made off of Hart's pads to Lee, and then you pretty much had another power play goal, that Brassard goal, where the power play just expired, but Toews makes a great play and Brassard puts it in. I mean, that's the opportunity. Because, I mean, Philly had nothing going on in the third period. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, that right there, even if you have a good, productive power play, like if you spend, you know, a minute and 45 seconds in Philly's zone and you're just dominating play and carrying on that momentum, but you didn't. You couldn't get the puck in the zone. It was a sloppy PP. There was no sense of urgency. And then, you know, Toews gets a bouncing puck at the blue line and ends up, you know, in a Lawton breakaway. And before you know it, the game's tied up. But that's how they're being... That's how they're getting beat, is, you know, they'll have a mental lapse where a third guy's caught high, or they'll have, you know, a turnover. And
that's what it felt like last night. Like, the Flyers took advantage of the few turnovers that the Isles did have, and they made them pay for those mistakes.
Exactly right. And then, I mean, in on top of it, I mean, Carter Hart was awesome. And then, I mean, you could see Trotz's reaction. The second goal, the James Van Riemsdyk goal, where he came down the wing, that was, you could tell Trotz was a little upset with that one. I mean, Farley was way out of the crease, good angle, and he gets beat. Coaches hate it when you get beat through your body. He got beat, like, you know, just under his glove over his pad. Mm-hmm. That's probably a save that you're saying to yourself, I should make. Because that's how close this thing is. That's how close these playoff games are. That could be the difference, especially when the guy down the other end is getting bombarded with shots and playing as well as he played.
Well, we get into it all next with you on the phones at 800-919-3776. How are you feeling about Game 7? Do the Yankees find themselves concerning you at all about actually making the postseason, as crazy as that might sound, and the lift that you got if you're a Met fan, even though you played as poorly as you did yesterday? It's all on the table for you. It's Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Rick, would you like to know some more fun facts?
I would love. I want every single detail, please.
Well, allow me to do this. Some 20 locations were used in China, including in the Hubei province in central China. The so-called Singing Sand Dunes in Mingxia Shan Desert in Zhangjiang province in northwest. Zhangye Dangjia National Geological Park in north central China. Of course, Flame Mountain in the north. Mazar Village and Dunhuang and Jiquan in the Gansu province of the northwest, as well as the Zhejiang province in eastern China. I'm sorry, I nailed that right there.
That's beautiful articulation, Carlin. Beautiful.
I thought so, too. I really did. By the way, it's available on Disney Plus to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock Premier Access. I'll have more fun facts about that next hour for you, Rick.
That was as good as it gets right there.
I appreciate that.
I don't think you could have done that much better.
Am I wrong in saying that at the beginning of the show, when Chris said, you think that's funny, that I should have felt like Henry Hill for a second? I mean, honestly, I thought I might be in trouble.
It felt that way. I mean, can't, you know, see, you haven't been doing the show with us long enough to realize that, you know, Canty is the definition of Captain Doomsday. They were 9-9 at one point, And he told Dave and I he was ready to pull the to break glass in case of emergency.
I did say that. I did say that after 18 games. I did.
All that means is you are a panicked. New Yorker.
I panicked. I panicked.
Well, let's hit the
phone. I don't think it's panic right now, though. I don't think it's panic right now. Like, the Yankees got to get right. They're not right now.
But I'll tell you, they're not. And the one thing that bugs me, I mean, think about this for a second. So the Orioles are 16-20. And, all right, so that's four full games behind them. The Jays are now tied with them after they won yesterday at 20-16.
Mm-hmm.
But and they're a game ahead of the Tigers in the loss column. But when you think about it, so with 15 of the last 24 against the Orioles and the Blue Jays, that's it right there. But with the Orioles this weekend, I mean, Chris, you want to bury them. You want to not have them in the conversation in the next couple of weeks and not give them any kind of false hope here over the next 2.5 weeks to give them that life, too.
Well, that's why I say Aaron Boone has got to ratchet up the sense of urgency, because you do control your own destiny, because you're going to play the Blue Jays and you're going to play the Orioles over the next 3 weeks. Plenty. So you'll have an opportunity to put both of those teams in your rear view. And if you do that, then we're not having a conversation about whether or not you're a playoff team. Because, I mean, as long as you're in second place in the AL East, that's all that matters. So, I mean, that's the most important thing right now, just being able to position yourself for the postseason to guarantee that you're going to punch your ticket and be playing baseball in October. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen once we get to that tournament and the best of three for the opening round series. I mean, if the Yankees are whole, if everybody is healthy, then, I mean, you still have that opportunity to compete for a championship out there in front of you. So right now, for me, it's just about everybody getting healthy and being right going into the postseason. It's not necessarily about what seed you're going to be or who your opening round matchup is going to be. For me, it's just about making sure that you get into the dance.
Yeah, but right now, that's a scary thing, though. I mean, I think the Yankees are going to figure it out and make the playoffs. I mean, but when you look at this team, I mean, that they're putting out there every single day with no Stanton, no Judge. I mean, with no Paxton. I mean, maybe you're a little bit spoiled because of what they, you know, what happened last year with all the injuries. Like, they found somehow some way to make it work. I mean, maybe this lineup isn't. I mean, maybe this lineup isn't a playoff team. I mean, it's not. I mean, they're not a great team.
Well, with as great of a start as they had, I think we could agree if they had been, you know, this unhealthy earlier in the year, you'd really, really, really be sweating it. But, I mean, the last 14 games, I mean, yes, showed the stat at the end of the post game last night. Their OPS over the last 14 games is like 673. I mean, that's rough. I mean, that's as bad as it gets at the moment.
Yeah, because you're missing three of your best four players.
But that's why, like, a mistake like what Wade makes last night just drives you up the wall even further, because the margin for error is non-existent right now.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I agree with you, because he's here for, you know, great defense and his ability to run the bases, for speed and everything else. But I think to Chris's point, Canty's point, and why he's frustrated is that you can only expect so much from guys that really shouldn't be playing. You have much higher expectations for Britton and Chapman. Mm-hmm. And those last night were the guys that let you down. Like, when your team is struggling the way the Yankees have struggled because of injury and guys not performing to their capabilities, like, the guys that are supposed to perform have to find a way to get the job done. Yeah. Like, that was a game you needed to win last night. There's no excuse to give that game away.
Especially to the Mets.
Does that make it infinitely worse?
That makes it worse. I mean, the Mets are a bad baseball team. They haven't been playing good baseball this entire year. So to lose to that team, I don't feel great about that at all.
Yeah, I asked that question this year in particular because you wonder what the heat check level is between those two teams at the moment. You know, is there that still same annoyance of losing a game like that there normally would be? And I would have thought it was the same, but boy.
But Chris,
I don't think the Mets are going to be a playoff team, so I guess I view it through that lens, right? If they're not going to be a playoff team, you don't have any business losing to them, especially in a game where you've got a 3-run lead and you're turning it over to your setup man, your eighth inning guy in Zach Britton.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, you can say what you want about the Mets. I mean, they haven't had a good season. But, no. I mean, just...
Their lineup can hit. They can hit now. The
Mets but lineup, hit. Like this Mets lineup, which is pretty much their team. I mean, it's their team, right? Mm-hmm. This Mets lineup is their team. Going up against this version of the Yankees, the Mets should beat this version of the Yankees. They should. Like, there would be no excuse why you should lose to... I mean, that is not a... That Yankees team, their lineup should not be better than what the Mets are throwing out there. It shouldn't be. Honestly, it shouldn't.
Not right now.
I hear what you're saying, but that game became a battle of bullpens, and the Yankees found themselves on the losing end of it. That's the part of it that just I can't get past that.
Understandable.
Like we're talking about the lineups. I mean, the Yankees lineup did enough to win.
Wow.
I don't disagree with you. You're right. I mean, you're right. But, I mean, going into the game, not even watching how the game, played out.
Sure, I see what you're saying. When you look at the two lineups that are going to be facing off, you're saying, okay, the Mets lineup has a lot more punch and a lot more of their everyday players than the Yankees lineup does. You're absolutely right. But I did see that same Yankees lineup a year ago help buoy a team while you had 30 individual IL stints to a 100-win season.
But also, but to Carlin's point, I mean – you had LeMahieu the whole time, and he had an MVP caliber season. And then you had Torres in the kind of season that Torres had.
Yeah,
and Gardner
Torres
had a really good
140
season.
140 games, so you're right. You're right. You're right. You're not
and
wrong.
Now you're sitting
but I guess there's a difference between perception and reality, right? Because the reality is Yankees fans look at Talkman, they look at Frazier, they look at all these, they look at Luke Voit, they look at all of these guys that filled in admirably last year, and you're just saying, okay. All right, if we in a situation where we've got to rely on our depth is probably a little bit better than pretty much any other team in baseball. They can be competitive in situations like last night. That's how Yankees fans feel. That's how I feel.
And yeah,
so
but
even if we do have all of those injuries, it's just like I still expect the team to be competitive and pull off some of those games and win.
Yeah, but in order to do that, the guys that you have that you expect to perform, like have to actually perform. Like Hicks needs to be better. Gardner needs to be better. Gary Sanchez has been brutal. He needs to be better. Like your bullpen, like Chapman needs. There's no excuse for what Chapman did. Like you can't throw an 0-2 fastball right down the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
And then talk about how good you feel after the game. Well, you look good. No, physically you look great. I mean, you look like a slice of pizza with pinstripes.
last point on this for me, and it just goes to Torres now, Chris, potentially coming back this weekend. I always get a little bit overly concerned, I'll even admit, when you have a situation like this where your team is just so desperate to get a reinforcement from somebody like that. And he had a little slump earlier to start the season, snapped out of it before he got hurt. But now you are asking him to come back and to be his normal, great self right away out of the gate. And I feel like that ramps it up a little bit more on a guy like that.
Yeah, but luckily for Torres, he's going up against the Baltimore Orioles.
That's fair.
I mean, that's they need him back.
Four of his 38 last year against the Orioles? Something like that?
Yeah, I mean, when you watch those games, I mean, just listen to, Gary Thorne calling those games. He was disgusted.
Yeah, like, it was batting practice for Gleyber Torres when he's facing off against Baltimore.
Yeah, he was ready to quit. Like, he was ready to just be done with it. Like, again, really? Gleyber Torres again? And Judge hits them well, too.
I don't know how worried I am about Gleyber Torres getting hurt again, though, man. He's 23 years old.
No, not getting hurt again, but just the pressure of coming back and having to perform right away because they are where they are right now.
Yeah, there's going to be pressure regardless. He's the shortstop.
Yeah,
the
that's
Yankees.
What I'm saying. I don't necessarily see it that way. I mean, it is what it is.
I'd be more concerned about re-injuring himself because that just seems to be what happened. What's happening with the Yankees these days.
At 800-919-3776, Phil in Westchester has been very patient. He starts us off today. Phil, have at it, brother. How are you?
Rick, what did you do? You totally touched the money.
I know.
Oh,
I know I
did.
I apologize. I got ahead of myself. I apologize. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to Popeyes today. I'm going to sacrifice whole chicken today. I promise.
And I'm a Ranger fan. I'm a Ranger fan, and I hate Philadelphia. And all I want to do is see the Islanders win yesterday, and all I thought about was you when I saw their goal go in.
Now, what else? I mean, what else do you want me to tell you? I'm sorry. I apologize. They had 53 shots. They had plenty of chances.
Little snippy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the problem is that I said it, and I feel like I was pushed into saying it.
You knew it. You knew it. You said it.
I know.
And you knew it right away. You were like,
and you know what makes it worse? Is that let's not forget where Chris Carlin worked before he came back to New York. He was a big star down in Philly.
Yep. Please. Please.
Well, good luck. I'm arranging.
I'm going to Popeyes. I promise you. Listen. All right. I already told the wife. We're going to Popeyes. I'm going to get a whole bucket of chicken, and I'm going to slaughter an entire chicken to change this up a little bit.
Good luck.
Have to wake
it
up.
Doesn't sound like much of a punishment for touching the money, though. You eating a whole bucket of Popeyes chicken.
Yeah, that sounds like a reward.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'd be doing if I'm not going to. I can't
listen.
You.
I'm not going to kill a live. I can't kill a live chicken in front of the kids. I can't do it. God forbid they walk into me choking one. I can't kill one right in front of them. Oh, by the way, Canty, I got an update. We haven't talked about this in a while. I mean, remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I was telling you about that chipmunk issue I had?
Yes, I do remember the chipmunk problem.
Yeah, a brazen chipmunk, right? Yeah. So I'm getting you know, DMs, I'm getting tweets, you know, put out a bucket, the bucket of death, where you put some stuff in the bucket and the thing drowns itself and everything else. Wife said no to that, so I put out some traps and everything else. Make a long story short, haven't seen the chipmunk. Like, apparently what I did, you know, may have worked, or it's just, you know, it's moved on to a different house.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I was wrong.
He's still there. Around. He was just laying low for the summer.
No, he's not just, he was not just still here, as in, like, living outdoors around the house. He was living in the garage.
Oh, wow.
It got a little too steamy for him in the summer. He had to find some shade.
Yeah, we found him in the garage yesterday. Cassie almost had a nervous breakdown in the garage.
Are you going to make him pay property tax, too?
That's the least he could do.
He's just Cadillacing in your garage. Right?
Hey, yeah, I was about to say, that's a little rubbing it in your face right now.
I told this chipmunk had nothing to lose. This thing was, I've never seen a more brazen chipmunk in my entire life.
You said he gave you a look one time, didn't he?
Yeah, he gave me the stink eye. Like, yeah, I dare you to try to get rid of me. I dare you.
So what's the plan now?
There is no plan, really. I mean, he or she, I don't know if it's a male or female.
The plan is not to have an adversarial relationship with the chipmunk right now, exactly. Carlin. That's the plan, because the chipmunk's not going away. He's here to stay.
I mean, you can get rid of the chipmunk without killing him, for Pete's. Can't you call, like, an exterminator who... Is there a friendly exterminator? I don't know.
I doubt it.
A friendly exterminator?
A friendly exterminator? Isn't by definition, I mean, isn't exterminate by definition a bad... I mean, that's...
All right, that's fair. The word terminate is in there.
What?
I don't know. I didn't know if there was a humane exterminator or something like that. Guy come in, man, trying to save some ants. He just scoops them all up.
Don't bother me. Chipmunk
is just looking at Rick saying, don't start none, won't be none.
Don't bother my life.
I'm not sure Ace Ventura is available. Otherwise, I'd call him to come in, swoop in.
Wow. Neil in the Bronx is next, 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Neil, what's going on, brother?
Hey, good morning, my friend. This is going to Canty. When the season started, the Yankees were fantastic. First place, ripping it up, just tearing everybody apart. I understand the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew they were going to make the playoffs. But all of a sudden, Canty said, as long as they finish in second place in the playoffs, we're lowering the standards for the Yankees. The Yankees are not a second-place team. They should be playing to win the damn division.
No, this Yankees,
I don't want to be a second-place team, but you got to be realistic. You got a lot of guys that are out of your lineup that play significant roles on the team. So right now, you're just trying to do whatever it takes in order to get into the playoffs. The goal is not to win the division. The goal is not to win the division. The goal is to win a championship. I don't care about AL East titles. That doesn't matter to me. Just trying to set themselves up to compete for a championship. And in order to do that, you're going to have Aaron Judge come back healthy. You're going to have Gleyber Torres come back healthy. You're going to have James Paxton come back healthy and be the guy we saw last postseason. Like, you need those pieces. Right now you don't have them, so you have to try to make do. And what I mean by make do is just make sure you punch your ticket to the postseason. That's it.
I'm telling you, Yankees fans got spoiled last year with what happened.
But you said it would happen, though. Rico, you said it would happen. You said that would happen last year while we were going through it. You were saying that, you know, you got a lot of guys that are out over their skis playing above their heads. This is not who they are. But because you have that culture in the locker room, you were kind of riding the wave. Okay, cool. But when the rubber meets the road, when those guys are going to be called on in tough spots, sometimes they're going to let you down. I think we're seeing the other side of that this year. We didn't see it last year. We're seeing it now.
I think you're seeing what normally happens to a team when they go through something like this. That
yes.
Last year, for anybody, that's more of an aberration. Not just the Yankees. That's for anybody.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you were decimated. A good team was decimated. I mean, you didn't lose. I mean, you lost your best players outside of LeMahieu and Torres. I mean, other than that, I mean, guys were going down like flies. What was it? It was 30 players and 39 separate.
Yeah, it was 39 separate stints, but it was 30 players, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, which is crazy.
It's off the charts insane. All right, our guy Andy in Merrick is ready to go today. Andy, what's up, brother?
Good morning, DCR. Ricky, I'm having a tough day today, but in trots we trust, my friend.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too, and I stayed up late watching that whole thing, too.
All right, it's Football Friday, and we got for the three of you a Pittsburgh Steelers edition.
Oh.
Gentlemen, can you tell me...
I'm going to sit this one out.
Nah, come on, Chris. You got this.
Nah, man.
Can you tell me...
The Baltimore Raven and me won't allow me to participate. Sorry.
Can you tell me who has most rushing yards in Pittsburgh Steeler history?
That's rushing yards.
Jerome Bettis. I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure about that? You don't think it's Franco Harris?
No, it's not Jerome Bettis.
It's not Jerome Bettis?
No. I'm going to go with Franco Harris. I'm going to go Franco Harris.
Picked up by DiPietro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, save DiPietro.
Terrible job by me.
All right. 99, you got to get in on this one. Most right. career sacks as a Steeler with 80 and a half.
That would be one, James Harrison.
That is correct.
Debo.
There have been three Pittsburgh Steelers linebackers inducted into the Hall of Fame. Name two of them.
Kevin Green's one of them.
Yes.
Jack Lambert's another.
And Jack Ham is the third. Three for three, guys. Yeah. All right, your bonus question. With all their Hall of Famers, there's only two jerseys retired in Steelers history. Name either one of them.
Ooh, either one of them.
I think Joe Green's one of them.
Joe Green is correct. Ernie Stoutner is the others.
Oh, that's who
guys,
it was.
Have a great Labor Day. Stay healthy, my friends.
My favorite sign-off.
Stay healthy, my friends.
That's a good couple days. I listened to you guys yesterday. You guys were 4-for-4 yesterday.
Chris picked us up a lot yesterday, as usual. Yeah.
Come on, why are you being so negative yesterday. With yourself right now? Don't be
it's
so
not negative with
on.
Myself. It's sharing... It's sharing the credit. It's not negative. Listen, there is no lack of confidence here. People sometimes think that this is self-deprecating and all that. It's also a self-awareness thing. I am what I am. I am the fat Popeye, okay? I get it. I know what I am. But I live that, and I own that. I think that's to be respected.
You can't be the fat Popeye. You don't eat vegetables.
That's a great point. It's a great point.
But, I mean, you know, if you're the fat Popeye, it's not spinach that is fueling you.
Yeah, but you're going to ruin the song. I'm strong to the finish because I eat my spinach. I mean, well, you don't eat spinach.
I don't sail either, at least not now. coming up on 10 o'clock.
I would pay good money to see you in a sailboat.
Hey, you want to know the truth? I've won a regatta. That's right.
Stop.
When I was in camp as a kid at Camp,
camp?
Norway
kind of
in
camp?
Ely, Vermont, I won a regatta on a sailfish, on a sunfish. I used to be quite the sailor when I was a kid.
Tommy boy, for some reason I can't see that. I can't see it.
I'm going to need pictures of that. I'm definitely going to need pictures of that.
Unfortunately, I don't have them, but that happened. And it was, it was Tommy boy. There's nothing worse than seeing the life jacket on a fat guy. That's bad because it looks so tiny on you. It's and like I was bigger then. I wasn't, where I am obviously now, but I mm-hmm. was a bigger kid as you would expect. But to see the life jacket.
So when you looked at the life jacket, you were wondering, could the life jacket actually do its job and hold you up?
Oh, absolutely.
No,
okay.
That's one of those situations.
That was a question mark.
No, that's Canty. That's one of those situations. You wear the life jacket is like a necklace. Like you just put that around the neck and hope it keeps your head above the water.
It's not like a necklace.
The life jacket is holding on for dear life.
Yeah, I'm looking at the lake worrying about its buoyancy. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
DCR 98.7 ESPN, Carlin in for Dave. Up next, we will get two more of your calls at 800-919-3776 and why Steve Nash is the right hire for the Nets. We discuss it all in moments.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.